Welcome to the Be Real, Get Real podcast from Women's Prosperity Network. Real women sharing real stories about their ups, their downs, their journey, and their transformations. Through these stories, we'll explore what it takes to have the courage to speak your truth, follow your passion, and be the change you want to see in the world. And now, let's get started with today's show. All right, we are live with the Be Real, Get Real podcast. I am your host, Nancy Matthews, one of the founders of Women's Prosperity Network. And we are here and bringing you this podcast of real women sharing real stories about their lives, their experiences, for the purpose of lifting you up, giving you hope, and giving you courage to get out there and share your story. Today, I have the absolute pleasure of welcoming Debbie Montgomery Johnson, who is going to be sharing her real story today. Welcome, Debbie.
I'm so happy to be here, Nancy.
I am delighted that you could be here and find time in your very busy broadcast schedule to be with us on the Be Real, Get Real podcast. And recently you've been, well, share with the audience where you've been sharing your story over these past couple of weeks, and then we'll get into the story.
Well, it's been incredible because it started off on, I was interviewed on the Dr. Oz show back in September. And it's finally airing tomorrow. And in the interim, I've been on the Tamron Hall show, flew out to New York for that. And then one of my favorite interviews so far was on the Mel Robbins show, which aired last week. Or Monday, I guess it was Monday.
Just this past Monday. And you can find Debbie Montgomery Johnson's story as broadcast on all these. I'm sure if you go to YouTube, Hulu, or any one of those channels, you'll be able to get her full interviews there. And so, Debbie, what is it about you and your story that had Dr. Oz, Tamron Hall, and Mel Robbins want to interview you?
I think what happened about a couple months ago, there was a great big arrest in Los Angeles of some Nigerian scammers, and it brought to light how real online dating romance and fraud in general really is. And I think because of the past few years in speaking out, I've become the poster child for online romance scam, which is not a good thing essentially, but it has been very positive because we found that most people don't want to stand up and speak up, and sometimes you just have to be brave to do that.
Well, and we're going to get into the roots of where it began with you telling that story in a moment. But before we dive into how you found the courage to stand up and speak up about this story, many of our audience may not even know what the story is. So let them know what you're sharing about and what your experience was.
The experience was almost 10 years ago, 9.5 years ago, my husband Lou passed away suddenly. And I was thrown into running his company and doing my own job and just being busy. And 6 months into it, my girlfriend said, Deb, you need a life. And I guess they wanted me to get out and about. I was running an internet company. I was working from home. I was pretty much isolated. And they said, you need to get out there. And really, they meant start dating again. Mm-hmm. And so I was not comfortable in the bars and all that. And I just said, well, online dating seemed to be safe. A lot of my friends had done it. My mom even had friends that had met their husbands through online dating. And I jumped into that and put out the perfect profile and did all the things I was supposed to do and got into an extraordinary relationship for 2 years.
That seems like a good fairy tale, happy ending kind of situation, right?
You get absolutely.
You meet the man of your dreams, right?
It was exciting. I felt like I was young again. The endorphins were going, and you know, every time the ding, ding, ding went off on the Yahoo chat, I'd run into my office, and we'd be sitting there chatting for hours. It was exciting, and it was safe because I wasn't ready for a physical relationship after Lou died. So the online, even though we hadn't met, it was safe for me, and it gave me a way to really articulate my story to him, my disappointments with Lou dying and 25 years of marriage. We talked about a lot of things, and Eric was actually a widower also. So we had a lot of family connections and business connections. He was an international businessman, and we would talk about business all the time. I thought it was an extraordinary start to what I thought would be a forever relationship.
Wow. And for 2 years you were in this relationship.
2 years. And people say, you know, why did you last so long? And it was because he was doing a job in the Far East, And we all know that things come up in business. And I also know that sometimes you don't get paid until the job's over with. So we kept having these hiccups. And so I was helping him all along with the job. And I just kept thinking, okay, hang in there. Just one more transfer, one more whatever, and he's going to get here. And my hope was always, he's going to get here, just hang in, you know. And it was ups and downs for years.
Yeah, and I want to dial in on this a little bit because, I mean, ultimately, you found out that it wasn't really who you thought it was, and you had given a lot of money over the course of this relationship. And, you know, somebody might say, well, how could you not know? And here's the deal. When you love somebody, you'll do anything for them. And you fell in love with this man.
I did. And I felt like he was going to be my family. And I've said before that I would do anything for my family. And I had no reason to not believe that it was going to be the fairy tale ending. It wasn't, and actually, he ended up coming online one morning and asking how I felt about forgiveness. And of course, I put my spiritual hat on, and we talked for hours. And then I thought, well, have I done something wrong? Why are we talking about forgiveness? And it's interesting to look at that now. Like, why did I think I had done something wrong? And he said, Deb, I have something that I need to confess, and it's going to hurt you. And he actually confessed online that it was a scam. At which time I said, now you're lying. I said, you have to prove to me that this has been a scam. And for the first time in 2 years, he actually came on live on Yahoo Chat, little camera. I didn't even know you could do that. And instead of my handsome Brit, I was looking at this young, dark-haired, dark-eyed, dark-skinned young man who turns out his name is Joseph, and wow, he was from Nigeria. So it was a shock, and it was devastating emotionally and financially, but looking back on it now, the one great thing that he did was that he confessed in person, and I was able to see a face with the story, and it was instantly separated from my heart, from my mind. And I could look at that as closure, which most women that are in this particular case never have that. And they think the guy has died or he's just, you know, run off or something. And so I've got the face, which was really a comfort for me in a lot of ways, and then, you know, also get maybe a little angry.
I'm sure there was a range of emotions that you went through. Yes. And the money that you gave him could never be recovered, no matter what you did and how you tried, right?
No, and it never will be, and you have to get over that. I always say that my last suit has no pockets. I'm not going to take the money with me. The story, what I learned about myself and about this whole issue has been incredible. And it's not about the money. And today it's not about the money either. Of course, I'd like to have that in my bank account or in my corporate account or whatever, but it's all about relationships. And someone said the other day that relationships are the new currency. And unfortunately, in this particular case, a false relationship turns into a really bad currency, yeah, fraud. Yeah. But it was an extraordinary experience all around.
Yeah. So I want to take us back to, he reveals himself on the camera, and I would imagine, I mean, my emotions, and I went through my own kind of scam with somebody, which was, you know, not as in depth or as much money as yours. But after I was taken, I felt like I was an idiot. How could I be such a fool? How did I fall for it? Like, I had all kinds of self-blame and shame going on around this. And tell me a little bit about that, and then how you manage. I mean, you are out there being a champion so that other people can recover from this and hopefully prevent it. So tell us that bridge.
The hardest part is forgiving yourself. Yeah. And I went through the same emotions you did. It's just like, how could an intelligent, well-trained person be taken? Yeah. And I realized that I always say that my heart ruled my head. And our good friend Marty Ward said, Deb, it really wasn't that. It was that security part of your brain. Eric was security for you, financial security, emotional security. And so that's how they basically lure you in. But when I found out, it was the grief, it was the pain, it was the hurt. And I shut down. The first thing we tell people to do is report what happened. I called my mom and dad because they were part of it too. And we went to the FBI. And as soon as the FBI said that there was nothing they could do, I shut down. Yeah, I was
crawl back in my little hole.
Oh, that's where the woman behind the smile came about, because I just put on the smile and pretended to the world that everything was fine and it just didn't work out with him. But inside I was just dying. And it was so tough because I was running my internet business. I was home alone. And I didn't want to talk to anybody about it. And I couldn't share it with anybody because I could feel the shame blame going on.
Right.
And the shame game. And I didn't want to deal with that. But it was very interesting that when I was at speaker training a few years ago, and I was sitting at lunch with a couple of the girls, and somebody mentioned online dating, and I rolled my eyes at them. And they said, "What's that about?" And I felt comfortable at that moment to tell those girls what had happened.
Well, and let me give a slight backstory to that. So this was, you were attending our speaker training event. So we have a 2-day speaker training, and you came for the purpose of using speaking to grow your internet business. You were going to get out there. You were going to speak more about it. I mean, that's why you came to this event. And I say this because the universe, God, works in mysterious ways, right?
Absolutely.
And one of the things that we really focus on at this speaker training is that when you're speaking, you got to share your story. You got to tell about yourself and be authentic. So you're sitting at lunch and like all of this framework is going on around it. You roll your eyes. And then, you know, I think it was another Nancy in the group that said, "What was that eye roll all about?" Right.
Right. And it was tough because I was struggling at that speaker training because I really wanted to own the company. You know, it was Lou's business and he had the diseases and whatever. So I got thrown into running it, but I didn't have the passion for it. And I was trying to figure out how can I make it my story? How can I be the expert? And then when I started talking about my story, it was just so natural. It was so empowering. So, you know, once I brought it out and I got the heads bobbing, and then Nancy said, "Deb, you have to tell this story because my mom was taken." And then I think you came in and I heard your story and then Trish, and I'm like, "Okay, Deb." So that's when I say, put on your big girl panties and realize that it's not about you anymore. But I did realize at that point too, that by speaking up, I was able to separate myself from the hurt and what really happened and get empowered by it because I knew that I was going to be helping one other person by speaking up.
Yeah.
And that's how I still feel today. And this national television stuff is terrific, but I just want to be there for one woman who is going through the same thing, feeling that shame game and not wanting to speak up. And it was amazing. I left the Mel Robbins show and I got a LinkedIn message on my way to the airport. And it was a woman that was a financial advisor in New York City. And she said, "Deb, I only lost $360,000. And I'm like, only,
right.
No, only. Yeah. She was comparing it to mine. And I was like, it's got nothing to do with the amount of money. It's what happened. But she couldn't tell anybody because she might lose her job.
Right. She's in financial services, right?
Exactly.
How could you ever tell anybody about that? And again, I think that your courage and strength and sharing your story, and this has been over time, I think that first aha realization was either 3 or 4 years ago, right?
It was 2016.
2016, so 3 years ago. The first thing you did was start working on your book, The Woman Behind the Smile. And then you developed a website and you developed a coursework. You got involved with SCARS, the nonprofit. And you have been such a champion. And you have not sat down since you first stood up about this. And I really honor that in you.
But there have been times when I've started to back off because I feel like, well, maybe I shouldn't be putting it out there. And as soon as I do that, then I get an email or a text from somebody that says, "Thank you for what you're doing." And that gets me all ginned up again, you know?
Yeah.
And it was funny because someone asked me the other day, how did the media stuff come about?
Right. Everybody's probably asking you, "Can you get me on Dr. Oz?"
Well, they are. And I don't have the context for that. But where it started is I was at a meeting for the 211 helpline. I was volunteering on their annual committee. And a woman there happened to be working for the Palm Beach Post. And she heard the story and she had a reporter. Well, the reporter called me and did a 3-page expose in the Palm Beach Post a few years ago. And that led to CBS Local picking it up. And then CBS This Morning picking it up. And once you get online, when their associate producers are Googling a story, you're going to pop up. And that's what happened with Dr. Oz and with Tamron Hall and all those. they had seen some other things already online.
Right, right.
And that was extraordinary because I didn't call them. They called me, and that was even better and terribly exciting.
Well, and that's, you know, I think the part of the lesson here is there are so many people who do have stories to share, and they're trying to get it out there. Just get out there and share your story, and take it the way Debbie does is, I just want to impact one person. So every time you do a Facebook Live, every time you're at a speaking event, you know, focus on making a difference in the life of one person, and that seed that will continue to grow.
And put yourself out there. I mean, I've done some neat things with the Awakening Giants, which was Changemakers in California. I literally jumped. And I put myself around people that I would not have met before. And it's gone to the group of girls over in Europe with the Pay It Forward series and Kezia Luckett and Sammy and those guys. It's extraordinary the women that have come into my circle of influence over the past few years. Because even though I was scared to bring it up, and even today, there are times I'm like, do I say it? Do I not? I was playing golf yesterday with some girls that really don't know me. But once they find out the Dr. Oz show is coming out, then they're going to say, oh, tell us about your story.
Right.
I don't open up about the story all the time unless someone asks me, you know, what am I doing? But then I realized that it's important to bring it up. It's important to open up and talk about it because the woman sitting beside me may be going through the same thing. Or the other day I got a message from a friend who she'd gotten a call from an 80-year-old neighbor who said, can you come over and help me take a picture of my credit card? I'm sending it to my friend. We're like, no. So she gets over there and she obviously stops herself from sending a picture, but she'd already given the credit card number to the man on the phone.
Wow.
So we have to raise awareness.
We do. And so the process of having ongoing courage to share this story, because I would imagine there's been some backlash from this, and you could feel unsafe. Let's talk about that just a little bit as well, and how you deal with that part.
Well, initially I had to change my cell phone number. So I have it on one of my banners, but I had to get a Google number because I was being called by scammers on my cell phone number. They even got me on my email. So I had to be really diligent in blocking certain emails or not responding to emails. I don't look at the stuff that's written underneath blogs or underneath, you know, when it goes out on the news, I don't look at all the feedback. I was told that from the very beginning when we had the Palm Beach Post article, a girlfriend of mine said, don't look at what they're putting online. Because the bottom feeders, as we call them, I mean, they were just cruel. And I learned from that point on that I don't look at what people are saying there. Now I look at my Facebook stuff. For me, it's pretty safe. But at this point, I do care, but I don't care what people are saying about what happened. And they could call me stupid or whatever. But again, it's for the one woman that it's going to help that I do it for. Because I know she's going to hear the story, and I know she's going to feel like she has a friend or that someone who understands, and that's all I care about, is that one person understands that I know how she feels. A therapist won't know, the law enforcement won't know, but I know from experience how she feels, and that's what all of our stories are about, is us knowing and having the courage to share it with somebody else.
Awesome. So as we're wrapping today, what would you say to a woman who's, you know, hearing your message today, your story of courage, and who has her own story to tell? It may be about a totally unrelated thing, but something that's, you know, on your heart that you've experienced that you're afraid to get out there and share. What would you say to that person?
I want her to own the story, own it. It's your life. You can't change it. And I was swimming the other day and one of my old lady friends said, you're sure making a lot of lemonade today.
From lemons, right?
From lemons. I was making a lot of lemonade and I'm, you know, national TV making a lot of lemonade. Just realize that your story is probably not unique, but it's important that you share because someone else needs to know that they're not alone. And it's very empowering to share your story. And when you see the heads bobbing, it just feeds into your heart. And it is so worth it. We're not here to be on our own. And I love your story, the one. We are to be the one for that person that really needs to hear our story, and not the guys that are naysayers. We don't need to be the one for them, but there is somebody out there that we need to be the one for, and our story is the one story for them.
Yeah, beautiful. And then, you know, the other thing I would add on to that, for the person listening that is looking for that courage to get out there, don't do it alone. Surround yourself with people who will believe in you and support you. Debbie's a part of Women's Prosperity Network, which is an amazing foundation of support. And then you've branched out and you've got friends in the UK and you've got friends here. You don't isolate yourself. Whatever it is that you've been through or are going through, find people who will believe in you and cheer you on.
And it may not be your family, it may not be your best friends. Mm. You have to be aware that sometimes those people are the ones that are the worst for you at that moment. Find someone that you really trust and can give you the encouragement to move on, because as soon as somebody says something to put you down, then you shut yourself off, then you put up that smile and you hide. And you'll never heal from what happened if you're hiding behind your story. You just will. So forgive yourself first. Forgive yourself first. Forgive somebody else if you need to.
Yeah. And I know if they go to your website, you have kind of a little guide for them to help them. So let our audience know where they can grab that and what it is that you have for them.
Well, I have the 7 steps to standing up in your power, and it's a free download on thewomanbehindthesmile.com. But the most fun that I have on the website are the blogs that we've been able to write in the last couple of years, because it's really opening my heart up and my story up, not just the scam, but life. And so I think we get so much wiser as we get older, and there's silly things that are on there, but really fun that might resonate with whatever they're going through.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, thank you so much, Debbie, for being with us today, for having the courage to continuously get out there and share your story, because it's not just one time. You've been out there, you've been a champion, and I have seen your amazing growth and your strength and the impact that you've made in literally thousands, if not millions, of lives at this point. So thank you for being here today and being part of Women's Prosperity Network.
Well, it's my great pleasure to be part of it, and thank you so much for having me today.
You're welcome. All right, everybody. We'll be back with another Be Real, Get Real podcast. And until then, get out there and make it an amazing day and own your story and share it with another to make an impact and a difference in their lives as well. Bye-bye, everybody. Bye, Deb.
Bye, dear. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on the Be Real, Get Real podcast from Women's Prosperity Network, the place where impact-driven women shine as they make a positive difference for their families, their communities, and the world at large. Be sure to visit womensprosperitynetwork.com to tap into the power, resources, and connections this extraordinary community provides. That's it for today. I'm your host, Nancy Matthews, and until next time, make it a magical day.